Hi, I'm Nigel Hamilton. In a long career as biographer and historian, I've looked at the lives of many famous and some infamous people, from Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill to John F. Kennedy. And now, the two American presidents who faced each other in the Civil War, Lincoln versus Davis. In the brief time we have together, I'd like to spotlight five aspects of the book that give an idea of how I tackle the challenge of modern biography and also give you a flavor of it. I should say straight off that I didn't intend to write the book, at least not in the way it transpired. In 2019, I'd just finished a three-volume study of President Franklin Roosevelt as Commander-in-Chief in World War II, FDR at War. And I was visiting the Civil War battlefield of Gettysburg, a very haunting place. That night, I conceived the idea of researching and writing a similar study, one of Abraham Lincoln as the nation's commander-in-chief in that earlier war. It didn't turn out that way, though. Ideas change over time. And in my case, I happened to spend my winters in New Orleans, where my wife's family comes. When I told people there that I'd begun writing a book about Abraham Lincoln as Commander-in-Chief in the Civil War, they said, "What about our president, Jefferson Davis?" It was clear that, although he was dead, President Jefferson Davis was still very much alive in Southern memory. I realized, in fact, that I was writing the wrong book, that the real story of President Lincoln as Commander-in-Chief in the Civil War was one that had never been told, namely his battle, his struggle, his contest with his opposing president and commander-in-chief in the war, a war which the two men declared on each other in April 1861, once they were inaugurated and in their respective capitals. Now, there have been, it's estimated, perhaps 20,000 books about Abraham Lincoln, but never one about a contest, the struggle between the two commanders-in-chief as opponents. President Lincoln in his White House in Washington, and President Jefferson Davis, his adversary, at his White House, first in Montgomery, Alabama, and then, once Virginia joined the rebellion, in Richmond, Virginia, only 120 miles away. A dual biography, in other words. So, first off, let's briefly note the aspect of conception, of originality, in deciding to write a biography, which is crucial. Neither the writer nor the reader wants a book that tells us only what we already know, or in the same way as before. Lincoln versus Davis, the War of the Presidents, as it became, offered a wholly new lens on the Civil War and its primary protagonists and their wives. Now, the second aspect I'd like to highlight here is the human factor in biography, especially in a dawning era of AI or artificial intelligence. Biography isn't history. History is certainly important in understanding our past, how we've gotten here. But it's mostly about numbers, as Dr. Johnson once put it, numbers of people, of communities, nations, studied with facts to bolster the historian's account. Biography is different. A biographer is a human being called upon to examine, interpret, and narrate the actual life of a fellow individual human being. Reading biography, we enter into an unseen collusion with the author as he or she narrates an individual's real life story. Identifying, empathizing, sympathizing, laughing at times repelled by the human subject, as well as by other persons gathered around the subject, just as we do in reading a novel. Only this story, Lincoln versus Davis, is true. My point is, a biography involves trust in the biographer's historical evidence and truthfulness in handling it. But it's a truthfulness focused upon a chosen, real individual's life story, or in this case, two human beings struggling to defeat one another. an alternating, developing portrait that not only encompasses the presidents, but their equally fascinating partners. Mary Todd Lincoln suffers from what might today be called bipolar disorder and is desperately affected by the death of their favorite son, Willie, in the White House. Her treasonous Kentucky family, meanwhile, mostly joins the rebellion against the U.S. government. But Mary remains loyal to her husband, Abraham. Meanwhile, Confederate First Lady Verena Howell Davis, the second wife of Jefferson Davis, is considerably younger than her husband, a sort of Jackie Kennedy of the Richmond White House. For her part, Verena has relatives in the North. She does not favor secession and thinks in private that the South cannot win the war. In other words, though we say biography is the story of a human life in history, it embraces other real lives, too, with many commonalities, ironies, and differences between them. Women such as Mary Lincoln's free black dressmaker or modiste, Elizabeth Keckley, who becomes Mary's bosom companion and confidant, but a woman who'd been Verena Davis's own dressmaker until only weeks before when Verena left town as a U.S. senator's wife on the eve of war. That's the deeply human factor of biography, which AI can try and copy or imitate, but may never be able to supplant, because it's written by a fellow human, invested with compassion, humor, and moral judgment. Biography written by humans, rather than by a robot, is the attempt of the author to reveal the humanness of real human lives and the trials they face as fellow human beings. That is the heart or human factor in Lincoln versus Davis, in fact, in all good or great biography. The third aspect of Lincoln versus Davis I'd like to address is story. Story, story, story. Whether in sound, print, or film, story remains the most compelling way we can convey not only information, but human individuality, emotion, and more. Once I had the framework for my study of Presidents Abraham Lincoln and Jefferson Davis, I wanted to find out what in the end was their unique war story. And I found it in the notion of a contest, a duel. The born politician, Abraham Lincoln, versus the born soldier, Jefferson Davis, a man who'd been trained at West Point, was a hero from the Mexican War, had been U.S. Secretary of War for 4 years, and was a general when appointed president of the Confederate States of America. The story of the duel, the contest that took place between the two leaders, as I researched, came to fascinate me in the same way that, say, the 12-round unfolding of a boxing match fascinates an audience even today, however much we abhor violence between individuals. And you know, even in the first days of the Civil War, that was precisely the way ordinary Americans saw the fight between the two presidents. In fact, Lincoln versus Davis, among its many illustrations, contains a wonderful 1861 magazine cartoon by Morse depicting Mr. Lincoln naked but in tiny boxing shorts with his fists up facing Mr. Davis, also in brief boxing shorts. It's the 12-round contest, the duel, in other words, that's the story of Lincoln versus Davis. Which of them will win, the politician or the trained soldier? We ask. Throughout the course of their battlefield fight, the book resounds with their punches and counterpunches, clean or dirty, good or execrable, backed by their cornermen, their families, their friends, and conniving saboteurs. I won't give away more of the story of Lincoln versus Davis, the War of the Presidents, but I think you will be surprised by the story, which no one has ever told before. Concept, humanity, story. These lead me to to the final two points I want to highlight, beginning with the fourth aspect, the turning point. At the start of Lincoln versus Davis, the War of the Presidents, we encounter a newly elected U.S. president, a man who's filled with the highest moral aim, namely the holding together of a fast fracturing nation. It wholly preoccupies his attention in the White House day and night. But he lacks a commanding personality, is indecisive, is vacillating, unwilling to hurt people's feelings, and is easily beguiled, is, in short, too nice for the job and almost hopeless in appointing effective people. Unfortunately for President Lincoln, he's facing a competing president of the same age, born in the same state, tall and unyielding, who proves himself a brilliant commander-in-chief as the war unfolds on the battlefield. Until, that is, he isn't. And the reason for this? It's because at the very height of his success, President Davis, like many autocratic individuals, gives way to hubris, and thereby affords his hapless opponent in beleaguered Washington the completely unexpected chance that Lincoln needs to help him get out of the fix he's gotten himself and the country into. I haven't the time to tell you here what and how this transpires, as the vacillator-in-chief finally gathers his courage and seizes the moment to issue his historic counter-proclamation. But it's a moment in the book that wonderfully illustrates a moment of truth that biographers rightly call the turning point. Does every life have a turning point? At least in retrospect. Certainly this one did for Abraham Lincoln, for Jefferson Davis, and not only for the armies and nations they led against one another, but for the 3.5 million human beings enslaved in the South, forced to work, slave, and fund a massive white armed insurrection over which they had no control. If that is not a significant turning point, I don't know what is. And finally, significance or relevance to today. The fact is, biography has changed enormously in my lifetime. When I began my career, biography was, shall we say, a gentleman's or gentlewoman's profession, not known particularly for its scholarship or originality. Now it's changed beyond all recognition, with more and more historians turning to biography and applying their methods of deep forensic research to the study of a chosen individual in history. And not only because the story has color, life, humor, sadness, humanness for its content, but because it still matters. What then is the significance today in the story of Lincoln versus Davis? I'd say it's the similarity of our divided house today with that of the early 1860s, when millions of Americans would or could not accept the result of the presidential election that had been held and turned to violent insurrection. And then, sadly, war, civil war. How the commanders-in-chief of the two sides, Presidents Lincoln and Davis, tried to defeat each other. What was at stake in terms of the war's outcome for them, for their wives, for their children, for their governments, for their armies, and for the millions of human beings who were still enslaved, as well as the lessons we can learn from this today, form perhaps the most important aspect of Lincoln versus Davis. I hope you will read it.